Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Yeah, as I reflect back and think about all those wonderful times, I tell you, you know, it was so good every time I'm back in town and visiting in Florida just to see all the many people and all the fathers and sons have been touched during that period we were reaching out to the fathers and sons and as well as the next step out back. What an incredible time.
You know, I was at a meeting the other night, you know, a particular town hall meeting that I was invited to. I didn't realize they were filming it. Mm-hmm. And let me just tell you something now. Everybody films everything and they play everything and then they hack it all up and then, you know, whatever happens, happens.
And then they upload it.
And realize, you know, ask for the original content.
Always.
Because you ever have to explain anything. But in that, you know, before this particular mother started talking about what was going on in the town, she stood up and she acknowledged the Next Step Outback, you know, father and son camping trips, because two of her sons were right there.
Oh, yeah.
Men now, you know,
wow,
were there. And it was just so encouraging. I just love these other men,
the
young men. And but it's just, we spent so many wonderful times together with God in the wilderness. And God showed up powerfully.
Powerfully. I mean, you remember, as I was thinking about this and sharing with others, that the month of November in the city became known as the Father's Month, the Father, mm-hmm. Fathers and the Fatherless Month. But it just the city would just embraced it, and it was amazing. You couldn't go a block or a mile or an intersection without seeing this prophetic sign that says, "Dad, will you take me camping?"
Oh, remember that? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness! Because you know, so many weren't asking. We had signage, you know, placed up around the city, and we went ahead and asked for him. One side of the sign said, "Dad, would you take me?" And the other one said, "Sir, would you take me?" Because, you know, obviously there's a lot of sons that didn't have fathers to take them.
Yeah.
And one of the most difficult things that we had, the task that we had, and we had people that said, "Hey, you get the mentors and we'll manage them."
Right.
Anyway, so the was finding, you know, I always told, you know, the ladies when I would meet with the ladies during those times, you know, it's a 10-year prophecy is what it was. And I would say, I can finally relate to what you're talking about, you know, that it's hard to find a good man, you know. You know, and the ones that had everything supposedly going for them, that had, you know, nice homes, nice car, they had cash, they could have, you know, paid for the young man's scholarship to be able to go out there and
which was minimal, really.
It was major, but we just charged them a minimal fee and we carried the rest on our back.
Right.
Now we have wisdom.
Yes.
And so
for years.
But you had to prophesy. I mean, that was part of the prophecy, you know. And with that the ones who did are willing to be there for the boys are the ones that are those boys themselves one time. And they've gone through the journey of not having a father in their life. They passionately want to be there. But the problem is, they had scars in their life that come from not having a father in your life.
Yeah.
You can go right now to vineseminar.org or vineseminars.org and look at the state of the family. Mm-hmm. And when the father is absent, one of the strategies to destroy this country is to remove the significance of the father in his own mind, in his own heart, and in his own family, where he's just replaceable. Mm-hmm. And now look what happens. I mean, it's the fastest way to poverty is for a mother to divorce the father of her children. Mm-hmm. It says the most rapid form of poverty, the quickest way to poverty is to do that. Mm-hmm. And then all
when you think about it, you know, in African-American community, 70% of all children today are being raised with a father in a home. And that's very significant. That's a big deal. So who's raising...
Let's pause for a moment and say that. 70%. Mm. 70. Think about that. That's like every 100 births, 70 young men and women in the African American community are born without their father in their life, in the father's homes.
That's huge.
That's huge.
And of course, you can see, you know, that what happened to the African American community was, if you look historically and what happened to their families, that, you know, that historically, you know, some, not all, but some African Americans were their families were ripped apart.
Mm-hmm.
They were ripped apart through slave trading and all these things that happened in the past, and they did not want the family to bond. They would they would separate them because a bonding family would cause the slave owner to lose control over his people. But if he had a family, so they would actually take the mother and the father and they would separate them. And you know, when people can say, hey, well, you know, 70% of the African American families are like this. Well, yeah, back up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't limp because I was just hurt yesterday.
Right.
You know, I'm limping because my great grandfather limped and I inherited it.
Generational.
And the church is the one that's going to have to come back and begin to model family again. We can't keep on just telling people to be family or using the words family. We need to be the family God's called us to be. You know, Jesus said when his biological mother and his brother was outside the house that he was ministering in, who thought he lost his mind. They thought God lost his mind.
Right.
That they were coming to rescue him.
Rescue Jesus.
And he said, they said, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brother are outside. He said, your family's outside. And Jesus said this. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? What is he saying? Who is my family?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He said, those who do the will of my father. Wow. Listen, he didn't. Not only did he not pray to Mary, he didn't even go open the door for her.
Right.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? And that's in every version. He didn't open the door for her. And so understand this, that, you know, you can't claim to be family just because you claim to be family. Your family in the church, when we actually live as family.
That's right.
And which means we obey God. We do our best to abide with God, hear what he says and do it. And the way that we can turn the tide on the breakdown of the American family is the church to get out of the orphanage mindset and the institution mindset and do the hard work of being family, down your life for each. It's not easy. That's why people run to big orphanages and hire people to feed at a certain time and play the music just right and just let's just act like we're related.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But when the storms hit, and we saw this in a whole city in New Orleans, that when the storms hit, that kind of mindset, it scattered the sheep all over the place, and you couldn't even find the
shepherds.
Nowhere
to be found.
Couldn't find them. You know, as a matter of fact, Leo DeJesus, you know, brother Leo DeJesus there in Gretna, he says today they're still gone. That these shepherds are still gone. You know, but is it the fault of the ones who hired the hireling, or is it the fault of the one who just looking for a paycheck, as we found out yesterday?
Right. Mm.
Remember the atheist that was looking for a paycheck?
Yeah.
And so he can find a better job. This is Diane Sawyer interview, is it not?
That's right.
This is not. Yeah. You can see this on the VFN Torch. And so he said, because I can't find another job right now, this is my only skill, you know, I have to continue to pastor these Christians who follow a God that I deny.
Yeah. Yeah, one other word that needs to be redefined right along with family is the church. You know, the church is not the building up the street.
Right.
It is the people of God.
Right.
You know, and so they can't just sit there and believe and expect it's going to be just one man's going to be responsible or one woman's going to be responsible for leading this. It's when the church comes together. It's when the family of God comes together.
Right.
That is the responsibility of raising the disciples up and raising the family of God up.
You know, and the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to train God's people up to be family.
Right.
You know, and not just to sit there and talk about it, but actually train people how to be family. But 97%, think about this, 97% of girls said that having parents they could talk to could have helped reduce teen pregnancy. If they just could have talked, that they would have had a parent there.
Mm. Wow.
Or, you know, also that says that one of the specific problems that I believe it's like 75% of American children, you know, are at risk because of parental deprivation. They don't have parents in their life. Mm. Even if two-parent households, fewer than 25% of young boys or girls experience an average of at least 1 hour a day of relatively individual attention from their father. You know, everything's really attracting a lot of attention, you know, from...
Right.
And you gotta,
what I hear you saying is that it's just not just a matter of being a parent, just, you know, I'm present, I'm here, or, you know, I'm around. You have to be actively engaged. You have to be involved in the lives of your children and have dialogue and be there with them, not just amongst them, right?
Exactly. You know, and so think about this, that 90%, and you can see these statistics on vineseminars.org on the State of the Family.
Mm-hmm.
The very bottom, it says State of the Family. Click on that. That 90% of youth sitting in prison today, 90%, that means 90 out of every 100, 900 out of every 1,000, 900,000 out of every million, 90% of them grew up without a father in their life in fatherless homes. But think about this. That's youth sitting in prison. 75% of all prisoners in America.
Wow.
We have more captives in prison in America than anything else.
They keep building more.
Yeah, and it grew up in fatherless homes.
Mm.
Think about that. And 43% of the children in America live without the father in their life.
It's almost half.
How can the church, think about this. How can we really say what we're doing is working?
Right.
If 70% of African-American children are being born without a father in their life, in their home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? As a church, we should be there walking and modeling this out.
Exactly.
I mean, you can be a father who doesn't want to have a father, but there's, you'd be surprised. People are looking for their father. They're trying to find this one particular man. I can't think of his name right now, but he said that every man has a God, a father shaped hole in his heart that only the father can fill.
That's right.
It's just uniquely shaped that only a father can fill. And God's designed it that way. He says it's not good for man to be alone. So he pulled Eve from Adam and brought them back together again, and that put relationship in there. Yes, we get healing from God, and God, you know, helps us out and heals us, but there's something missing, something lacking when we did not have the wholeness of family in our life, and God can restore that. And I really believe in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and just like John the Baptist said, and one of the preparations for the Lord's return is answering this very problem, that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Listen, God sees this. He understands the injustice in what's going on right there. And it's a strategy. It wasn't your father's strategy. It wasn't your mother's strategy. It's Satan's strategy to be able to destroy the family and destroy the nation and to come against. You know, it's hard to get a grid for Father God when, you know, earthly father was taken from you. And,
That's right. And
the biggest thing you want to know about, you know, when you had a father absent in your life, based on the ones that the fatherless that I've talked a lot.
Yeah.
Is first thing you want to know is, did you even think about me? And you were gone. Right. You weren't anywhere near me. You know, maybe you sent a card every now and then, maybe you didn't. But it felt like some sort of business encounter, you know, some sort of, you know, you're paying the pittance. And
what did one child say? He says, my dad rents me out twice a month.
My dad rents me twice a month. And let me tell you something. It's because of Americans have allowed rulers to get in positions, judges and senators and congressmen and governors and presidents who do not value the family the way God values the family. And we can change that. We can rewrite entire laws to support the family again if we decide to rule this nation the way that the founding fathers meant for it to be able to rule, and which is the people, government by the people for the people. So we interview these candidates and ask them, how do you feel about the family? I mean, think about it. According to statistics, 72.2% of U.S. population says that fatherlessness is the most significant a family and social problem facing America. 72%.
Wow.
But it's one thing we're not addressing. As a matter of fact, now they're going it's getting further and further away. Women that have that program, The View, they were quoted Barbara Walters.
Yeah.
She was quoted in saying that, that the only thing you need a man for is to be a sperm donor.
Mm.
Wow.
I mean, this is public information. Yeah. And when men are only seen for their seed and not for their heart, and the thing about it is, if you've grown up without a father, you don't have a grid how to be a man, how to be a father. So you have to begin to learn and the processes of that. And
look at today's society as well. I mean, you look at some of the programs that have been on television, and these are what kids are listening to and watching to, you know, for 5-6 hours a day. But if you remember that television program, I think, I don't know, maybe early 90s, Married with Children.
Mm-hmm.
And it just showed a dysfunctional family. you know, I actually did some research on that program, and the founders of this program, their idea was actually, because the Cosby Show was actually showing a model of a positive family, especially in the African American community, and his vision was to show something on a positive light. Their theme for that program, Married with Children, was to be anti the Cosby Show. It wanted to be totally dysfunctional, and they were looking to see how they can totally just bring the family down. And it was one woman, that was going to air this on Fox, and Fox was just getting ready to get started. One woman who said, this is vile, this is horrible. She spoke up and almost threatened to shut down. They were going to shut down that whole television program because this one woman. Some people got scared, some politicians got, and it went away. And they said, had that woman had more traction, and more good people would have stood up and said, listen, we don't want this. We don't want this as an example. Maybe the show never would have made it, you know. Right. And it's just when you're looking at that all day, and you're not respecting manhood, and you're not respecting the role of the father. You have other programs like Everybody Loves Raymond, and I don't know how, as believers, we could watch some of this stuff and say this is okay when you're totally disrespecting, you know, the male figure, the husband, the father of the children. How do we expect the children to do what's right before God?
If you're dishonoring to your children's father, are you surprised, mm-hmm. in front of them, are mm-hmm. you surprised that your children dishonor your husband?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That I remember the movie Facing the Giants, was it? Facing the Giants? Maybe not Facing the Giants, but Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having the first integrated football team, and they're mm-hmm. the Tennessee Titans, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And high school team. And mm-hmm.
I think it was in Alabama somewhere.
Was it not? Was it really?
No, it was Tennessee.
Tennessee, because they marched out to where the Gettysburg was at.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're right.
And had a powerful moment. It'll be close.
They didn't march from Alabama. That's for sure.
Yeah, but they were having problems playing the right parts and the roles on the football team, and they started criticizing everybody, you know, what they were doing, and finally they looked at him and says, "Well, that we only do what we see leadership do."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you criticize your children's father, understand their very safety net you are destroying in front of them.
Yeah.
That the authority that God gave him to be there for you. And by the way, around 12 or 13 is when you start calling him back and say, I need you. But by that time, you've sowed so many things in him
mm-hmm.
and so much derision in his heart towards his father or her father that they cannot receive from him. And
right.
Dr. Dobson did a study and focused on the family that says the way men are made up, that men have to be present in the family for the fathering aspect to come out of them. If you mm-hmm. remove him from the everyday presence of his family, he's not naturally a father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's just hunting and pecking in regards to figuring out how to do this thing. But when he's in the context of the family, he just becomes the father.
Yeah.
So the enemy knows how to destroy the family, to push them out, seduce them out. But out is out, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And if you stand as a father, you know, if you stood as a father, I mean, if you're in the honeymoon days, you know, when, you know, your child doesn't talk yet, you know, whatever, I mean, that
they don't have an opinion yet.
They don't have an opinion mm-hmm. yet. Or, you know, they're not been attacked by the world, that you're going to have to fight for that role.
Yeah.
You're going to have to fight for that role, and you're going to have to deal with people who try to change your children's influence of you for your own child's sake.
Right.
Because if they disconnect from you as their father, all these statistics that I've been talking about and that we're talking about, think about 80% of children who exhibit 85% of children who exhibit behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 90% sure. of adolescents repeat arsonists. 90% who are setting fires come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions, which your tax dollars are paying for. Wouldn't it have been cheaper just to be family? You know, everybody's trying to find happiness, and it's like, find joy. Find
Hello.
God.
Yeah.
And be faithful and stay there and realize that we're not living trying to find ourselves in this life. We found ourselves the day we were born. Mm-hmm. We need to find God and allow God to fulfill our hearts. But 85% of youth in prison today grew up in fatherless homes. Think about it. And 90% incarcerated youth come from fatherless homes. I mean, that alone says, sir or ma'am, that if you decide to, because you have irreconcilable differences, to walk out on your wife or to walk out on your husband, that it's the worst thing you could do for your children. It's the worst thing you could do for your children, you know, unless there's abuse or something. It's the worst thing you could do for them, mm-hmm. because statistics say that it's not going to be good for them.
Right.
It's not going to be good for them. And so, you know, how are we going to fix this? We're going to fix this by what Jesus said. You know, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my family? You know, an authentic, genuine family are in the church. Christians are the church. It's people that obey God, people who abide with Jesus. And that's who you start learning how to be family again. That's a healthy viewpoint of family. And you start having fathers in the Lord and mothers in the Lord and brothers and sisters in the Lord. And and Jesus is not only our Lord and King, but he's our elder brother, you know, and we are heirs of our Father, God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It's all family. Mm. You know, God wanted family, so he sowed a son, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so I just want to encourage you that this morning, as we're talking to you, that probably all hell is coming against you and giving you every reason to walk out or to leave your husband or to leave your wife. But have a second, rethink that in the context of what's going to happen to your children, because no matter how you articulate it now, down the road and at that present moment, your kids are going to see it this way. You left them.
That's right.
Or you ran their father off.
Yeah.
They're not going to see it. They're not going to see it any other way. Kids are like the sun, and we're like planets that kind of revolve around them.
Right.
They only see it from one perspective.
All right.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids start blaming themselves when that happens. But understand that you're not going to be able, there's not an intellectual argument that's going to help you fill the void in their life that happened when you chose to break up their mother and their father's role in their life, to have that balanced viewpoint of what's going on. It's not perfect. Marriage is not perfect. But understanding this, that's God's plan. And if you are a single parent, know this, that you're anointed by God to be there for your child. And when the church starts doing what we're talking about right now, then, you know, we will be better to be there for you. You'll be able to come in the midst of the family, of the fellowship, mm-hmm. and they're going to see fathers everywhere. They're going to see mothers everywhere. They're going to eat mm-hmm. dinner with them. They're going to watch how you go through struggles. They're going to watch how you go through conflict. They're going to watch how you go through blessing. And they'll watch all that. They'll observe mm-hmm. all that, and they'll realize, hey, I didn't miss anything. There's nothing lacking, nothing missing, mm-hmm. because I got it from the family of God.
That's right.
So with these kind of statistics in our own nation, and one of the preparations for the Lord's return is for this to be fixed, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, turning of the father's hearts to the children and the children to the fathers. You're really telling me that this institution, you know, is what we've done? Is that working? It's not. Statistics says it's not working.
Yeah. How many years have you said, you know, we need to stick, stay, and stand even when it stinks? You know, and sometimes your situation is going to stick, but we have to look at the bigger picture. We always have to have hope. We always have to invite God into our situation, into our families and our marriage, because it matters. You know, and you can always avoid tomorrow's regrets today. But once the decision has been done, I mean, tons of people later, tons of experiences later, you can look back and say, wow, you know, would I have handled that differently? You can do that now. You can reach out and now determine, you know what, I'm going to find a better way. I'm going to invite God into my life, into my situation, and we're going to invite God into our family and believe that God can turn it around.
And it's so important too, you know, as we're about to break here, that we do what's right because of God, not because of people. Mm-hmm. It's a fear of the Lord that we love God. Because we love God, we love people.
Mm-hmm.
And because we love people, that proves that we love God. But they go hand in hand. And so, you know, you're not being a husband and a father or a wife and a mother because, you know, you get this great, you know, you're constantly getting these little brownie points and everybody's patting you on the back. and they can come, and they're gifts when they do come, you know. And quite often the very ones that you're raising up, you know, that they're not going to understand it yet until they grow and they mature. But as they grow and mature, they're going to see if you fought for them, if you lay down your life for them, if you, you know, you know, apologized for, you know, mistakes. If you loved God in front of them and taught them how to love the Lord, I mean, mm-hmm. and it'll all pan out in the end, but you've got to hold on and realize no matter how it turns out, mm-hmm. that God is watching and expects us to stay together. He says the reason why two become one flesh is so to be able to raise godly offspring.
Mm-hmm.
We got to redefine family and marriage. The world's not going to do it. We're not going to do it in the court systems. We're going to do it in the family of God. It's time for fathers to rise up and mothers and Lord to rise up and realize until we do that, we're going to need the orphanages to be able to keep all the children until somebody's willing to father them and to raise them up. Mike Bickle just said recently, he said, you know, if you're 26 years old and you hadn't found a father in the Lord yet, just stop and stop and be one.
That's right.
But the thing about that is, you know, how are you going to be what you've never observed?
That's
you
right.
know, but God will honor that. But if you are, you're needing to grow in that, you know, maybe VFN family's for you. You know, maybe that's you right. can learn some wisdom and go through VFNU, begin to just relearn like Josiah did to teach people the ways of God. You can go to VFNfamily.org. We'll be right back. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.